The reading today is 1 Peter, and it's, and it's verses 1 to 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. The next part is Peter 2, and it's chapter 11, verse 11 to 12. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens, strangers in the world, to abstain from the sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jen. We start a new series today, and I've titled it Strangers in the World. Strangers in the World. And to get this, I guess you've got to imagine with me that there is a heavenly city where God is and Jesus was, and then Jesus was sent from that heavenly city down to earth. That's the Christmas story that we all know fairly well. So he's come from that place far away, and then he arrives and he does all his miracles and does all his teaching and dies and rises again, and then he ascends back to heaven. He returns to that heavenly city to continue to rule his people. That's what Christians believe about Jesus. But as we come to Christ ourselves, if you're a Christian here this morning, you have a new start as members of that heavenly community, eternal life. So it can be helpful to think of us as having similarly, in some way, come from that heavenly city. That is now where we belong. That is where our language is based from. Our culture comes from there. And we are visiting here. So we expect a sort of culture shock. I don't know if you've been on holiday to an exotic place somewhere very different, but that all those things kind of mount up, different language, different smells, different sights, different ways of doing things, different timings, different weather, all sorts of things. We call it something like a culture shock. It can be very nice. It can be the point of what you went to, but it's something that makes a difference, and we notice all those differences. And that's what it should be like for us living here in this world that doesn't follow God. There should be a culture shock because we belong there and we are strangers here. We are strangers in the world. And that's one of our theme for this next couple of months. And if you're not yet a Christian, you can look in on this series and think, well, why are Christians happy to be strange? Try not to call you strange too often, but how is it great news for all when Christians are strangers in the world? Well, first of all, 1 Peter is a letter. It is a letter, and there are different sorts of letters. I've got a couple of different sorts of letters here. The brown envelope. Who looks forward to getting a brown envelope? Not many people. They're always boring. Either a bill or this one was an advert for something that I would never, ever want. Or a different sort of envelope. It could be addressed in a certain different way. It could be typed. It could be written. Sometimes I get envelopes that say Reverend Dr. Dave, my full title. And there's only two or three sorts of people that write that. One is my dad, obviously, using all his son's titles. And the other is the diocese, because when a bishop or an archdeacon writes to me, I like them to have the full respect for my physics background. Different sorts of letters, aren't there? And so we want to look at 1 Peter and we want to think, oh, what sort of letter is it? Who's it to? Who's it from? What's it about? Well, if you've got it open there, verse 1 says, this is from Peter, the disciple Peter. He reminds us he's an apostle, which means one sent. He is sent by Jesus Christ. He's sent to speak with his authority. So as we read this letter, we're getting a masterclass from Jesus himself. And who's it to? Well, it says it's written to Christians scattered all over these various strangely described areas. But it's sort of the area of Turkey around there that we know it now. And they're living as Christians in a complex world, like us. At the end of the book, in chapter 5, verse 12, Peter says, I've written this to encourage you to testify to the true grace of God and to help you stand fast. And that's what it should do for us. So in this letter of 1 Peter, there are the words of God to you and to me for life in this world that we live. Outnumbered, under pressure, trying to work out how to live for Christ at home, in society, and in our culture. It is well worth reading. And I think we're going to have an exciting turn together. Well, to help us get our bearings right at the beginning of this series today, we need to understand, first of all, what it means to be strange and to be strangely distinct. You need to understand that you're strangely distinct. How does Peter describe the identity of the Christians he's writing to? Well, just in these first couple of verses, in verse 1, there are two surprising but vital words. And then in verse 2, a stunning and heartwarming truth. We're described in verse 1 as elect, which is a strange word, but it means kind of as part of God's chosen people. You see, we're not strangers to God. We're part of his ongoing story of his chosen people, right from the promises of Abraham, if you remember him out in the desert, being blessed and being a blessing to many others. We are part of that story, the elect. Most readers of his letter and most here this morning, well, we're not going to be Jews by birth, but Peter reminds us we're drawn into God's plans for the world. So we're elect, which means that we belong to God's people. You are a citizen of heaven. But we're also described in verse 1 as strangers in the world, or the word also can mean exiles. We're strangers, foreigners in the world around us. An exile would remind the readers of Babylon, that disaster in the Old Testament, where God's people were taken out of Israel and put into a foreign country and sort of treated very badly, far away from where they wanted to be. They were told by God, there's no immediate return for you. So what I want you to do is remain distinct and bring a blessing where you are. And there's a similar theme for us to hear in this letter. Remain distinct and bring a blessing where you are. You see, in Jesus, you belong to God's people. You're a citizen of heaven. So you do not belong here. Now, as we think of parallels with that Old Testament exile, you need to hear the words of God to his people at that time from Jeremiah 29. So Serena's going to be the part of God this morning.
This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those are carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper.
Thank you. Do you see what he's saying there? He's saying, take part. You're strangers in a foreign land, but you're called to be a blessing there, to make a difference. The Lord promised them that after 70 years, he would bring them back, and he did do that. But we are better off than them, because we already, in Jesus, belong to that heavenly city. Although there's a future time where it will be fulfilled, our presence there is assured. It is already true. So we can hear with extra confidence how Jeremiah continues. Sorry, second bit, please.
This is what the Lord says. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile.
Thank you. So these were God's people. They're not always with Christians around them. In fact, they were often outnumbered and under pressure, and they were called to be distinctive and to make a difference, just as we are, to make a difference for Christ. So I want us just to take a couple of moments, because it's useful to make this series as practical and real as possible. In your life, where are your places where you're having interactions with the world around, with people around? It could be primarily family, I guess. It could be work or school. It could be kind of a hobby, a particular community you belong to. Just have a think, quiet moment to yourself for a moment. Where am I distinctive for Christ amongst the people around me? And God is reminding us this morning, we belong to him. So understand you're strangely distinct, and then understand you're strangely distinct, but be encouraged in it. I'm not just telling you you're strange, but I'm telling you this is a good thing this morning. I guess if this is a new idea to you, you might be thinking, help! If it's about being a stranger, like being a foreigner, then overseas travel, what is my passport, my tickets? What's the language? How do I find where anything is? Who's going to help me? It sounds exhausting. Well, thankfully, we're reminded in verse 2 of the wondrous truth that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is at work in us, with us, making us who we are. So I don't know if you have verse 2 there in front of you, but as Christians, we are known and chosen by God. Our strange distinctiveness is rooted in our Father God's choosing of us. Secondly, as Christians, we are sanctified or different for God by the Holy Spirit. Our strange distinctiveness is enabled by the work of the Spirit in your life, the presence of God in your life, prompting, guiding, giving strength. And as Christians, we are sprinkled by the blood of Jesus. We can be confident of inclusion in God's family. Our strange distinctiveness means we're saved and secure by the promise in Jesus' blood. And again, if you think that being sprinkled by the blood of Jesus sounds a bit messy and a bit, frankly, yuck, we need to remember that by the blood of Jesus is a way of describing his death for us on the cross. And it's a death which, as we believe in it, washes us clean of the wrongs and mess of our lives, presenting us perfect and pure in the sight of God. And the blood of Jesus is also a sign of a promise of God. He says, it is finished, it is done. You are secure in eternal life with your loving Father God. And if you don't yet know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that is the free offer for you in the death of Jesus. So no wonder, with all this involvement of the Trinity God for us going on, we're encouraged to be strangely distinct, delighted to obey Jesus as our Lord, knowing his wonderful love for us. Be encouraged. You are strangely distinct. So then, as we read this letter together over the next couple of months, we're going to see real themes of living distinctively: holiness, obedience to God, having been changed from how we were before we were given a new life in Jesus, different to those around us. And it's going to be really applied. We're going to think about our home and our workplace, how we are with our bosses and those who work for us, in our relationships with each other, in the church, yes, but also in the world, in the society we belong to, the world that we're strangers in. So I wanted to give a brief example this morning. It was the second part of that reading from Jan there in chapter 2. Says, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world, there's an exile's word again, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. It's not easy to live for Jesus. There are sin, temptations that war against your soul. It's not easy to live a good life amongst those around us. Why? Because we're strangers here. So we expect culture shock. We expect it to be hard, suffering now. But we're sure in our faith in Jesus for now and forever. Glory later. And for me, 1 Peter, that's one of the key phrases for me. Suffering now and glory later. We gather each week, Sunday by Sunday, when we meet with our fellow Christians to remind each other of the truths. We believe the world is God's, he made it, and he knows what's best. We believe the world is broken because of sin and the rejection of God and his ways. We believe that Jesus' death makes new life possible. And we believe that one day Jesus will come back and everything will be transformed. So we live as people with a distinct true story in a culture, in a world that believes very little of it. And that makes us strange, strangers in this world. So we will choose to live for Jesus when it's hard. We choose to live a life that brings blessing to others, even when we might feel rejected ourselves, because we love others, because we love Jesus, and we can bring glory to God. Christian, this morning, you are strangely distinct. You belong to God's people, not here. So be encouraged. God the Father knew you and chose you. God the Son saved you and secures you. And God the Holy Spirit continues to work in you. So with Peter, I say, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Let's pray. Father God, as we think of what it means to belong to you and to not belong in this world in that sense, help us to be real with you and with our lives. Help us to think through where the challenges are, where the traps and trials are. Help us to be encouraged by your presence with us and to seek to be working out what it means to be a Christian in whatever situation, whatever community, whatever place we are. Because you are a good God, and we are encouraged and certain and have great assurance in you. Amen.